Good morning all. Whilst the computer starts up and we are relying on technology, hotspots and everything else, so we are in a digital age and a mobile age, so let's hope the technology works. But whilst all of that comes up, the best way to describe myself is I'm a spatial nut. My background is in IT when I left school, and that was when these did not exist. Computers filled the size of this room. Then I went through a early midlife crisis and became a police officer, because when I left school I was half an inch too short in the pre-EEO days. So from the police I became a paramedic, and I have a passion for emergency management and emergency services. To me there is no better public service than what our emergency service organisations provide. However, whilst I was a paramedic, I had an unfortunate incident where a patient fractured my skull, and as a result of that I had to go off the road for a while. So I went into operations, ambulance operations. So when you call 000 and you provide some details and you ask for assistance, it's quite amazing what happens behind the scenes there and what occurs in order for somebody to get a fire truck, police or an ambulance to the person requiring assistance. And it was 5 minutes walk from here, the old ambulance operations centre in Key Street. Again, before the age of computers were really accessible. If you can imagine, you had a call being answered by an operator, them handwriting the details out on a slip that went down a conveyor belt to a number of dispatchers who had responsibility for a geographic area, who had an A3 laminated map. The cars were little tags with numbers on them, and out of those three resources, you had to manage all the requests for assistance, know where the ambulances were, know what stage they were at, whether they were on scene, at station, at a hospital, etc. The job was actually rated second to that of being an aircraft traffic controller in terms of stress. It was like a huge game of chess, but with people's lives. Luckily, the digital age started to come around, and the ambulance service got a computerized dispatch system. So this is where I became a spatial nut. So I went from being able to manage resources with a picture inside your head to go into a complete integrated geographical information component as well as a work management system. So when Amanda asked me to talk to you today, she didn't give me a title. She didn't give me a subject she wanted to talk about. She said, I'll leave it to you. And that's a dangerous thing to do, Amanda. It's very dangerous. So what I thought I'd cover off is the term location intelligence, because the New South Wales government has a location intelligence strategy. But link it back to state records, because state records is really important to me. I've had the privilege of working with people like Cassie and especially Kate in terms of developing some of the information management policy standards that are now acknowledged and accepted within New South Wales government. Because to me, spatial, whilst it's not special, there is no greater technology platform that enables people to understand and contextualise information and link disparate pieces of information together. So I issue a challenge at the front of most of my talks, because there used to be this saying that I'm trying to get rid of, that 80% of government data can be spatially enabled. I'll take the challenge, I can link any piece of data to a real world place or location and time. So, can you imagine that information, making sense of that, controlling resources, allocating the most appropriate resource to save a life, compared to that? So this is the same representation of the same information. It's a little bit fuzzy, but those asterisks are calls for assistance, and these resources move around in real time. So that's where I became a spatial nut. When I had a system that I could actually see where the resources were, what their status was, where the calls for assistance is, what their priorities are. So that turned me into the GIS manager for the New South Wales Ambulance Service, and from there I was seconded to LPI after 9/11. Because what the state government wanted to do, they set up, some of you may have heard, the Emergency Information Coordination Unit, and it was a unit to bring together information to help plan, manage and recover from a 9/11 style event that would happen in a CBD city if it ever did. And their choice of technology platform and information management format was spatial, because you could put everything into a picture. So the limitations of location intelligence, your imagination, but more importantly the data. And I say data because data is turned into information and information is turned into intelligence depending how you use it. So what are we doing to equip decision makers with the ability to utilise this platform? Because you know what? Let me ask you a question. How many of you would consider yourself competent enough to use a spatial information system or capability? How many people have an iPhone, a smartphone? Do you use the map function on it? It's a spatial information system. Do you rely and do you trust the data that's served up in that? This is where we get the issue. Spatial information needs to be reliable. And this is where it fits into the New South Wales government's information management framework. State records, information management practices are really important, and it's an exciting time to be in government right now with all of these developments happening. So, my job now in the Location Policy and Coordination Unit is to adopt a whole of government approach to strategy, policy and governance arrangements for New South Wales government spatial data. So where have we come from and what have we done? First of all, and we'll miss you, Kate, for this one, this will be one of your legacies. We have a New South Wales data and information custodianship policy, fully endorsed by the ICT board, ICT leadership group and location leadership group. It assigns data custodianship to New South Wales government agencies with particular data types. It started out as a spatial data custodianship policy, but rightfully so became a policy for all data and information. We also have developed a New South Wales standard for spatially enabling information. Just to prove those documents do exist, so hopefully, Sonia, it's all working. Data and information custodianship policy. And here we have the government standard for spatially enabling information. The other thing we've done in line with custodianship is we have worked together with other jurisdictions and adopted a national approach through ANZLIC, which is the Australian New Zealand Land Information Council, which is represented by all the states and territories, and the Commonwealth Government. And we have developed what's called a Foundation Spatial Data Framework. So we identified those really important foundation data sets, things like the imagery you see, addresses, the street network, property boundaries, administrative boundaries. Those data sets that are critical for the function of government and business, they are now acknowledged at a national level as foundation spatial data sets. We have in New South Wales developed a framework that has documented all of those, including assigning custodianship rights, arrangements, what your access mechanisms to those are, so that you can rely on the fact if you use those foundation spatial data sets, you're using the same data that every other government agency should be using. And you're all making decisions off the same base of information. And then you're linking your own business information for those of you who spatially enable it on top of that, so it all aligns up. So whilst we're working on the foundation data, we've done that, we're now working with a number of other government agencies. Education, natural resource agencies, OEH, the emergency services, health, transport and particularly planning at the moment, to help document their spatial data sets, to help identify the data sets that they are custodians for, so that you can discover those. So you only have to have the data created once and used multiple times. It does increase the return on investment for government agencies in terms of data, and it does improve decision making. So, that's the formal part of my presentation over. If I just wanted to have a bit of playtime, and that's what I do. We'll have an opportunity to ask plenty of questions. So, who's heard of the New South Wales Globe? Who's downloaded it and played with it? Have you tried at work? A lot of agencies don't have access to it, believe it or not. So, I'm connected to the internet, so we're going to have a bit of a plan. Excuse my desktop, it's a little bit unorganised. So Google Earth, free application, easy to use, very intuitive, great visualisation tool. So to me, let me ask you, who has not had a play with Google Earth? So in my mind, everybody in this room can use a spatial information system. All right, I'm just going to clear out some information and show you the importance of... So all I've done is open up the free Google Earth application and the data that they serve. Contrary to popular belief, there are not thousands of satellites sitting stationary above us, beaming live pictures of your house into this application. There are still some people who believe that. So let me just explain the globe, because this is free, you can use this now. You can have access to the data, and let us explain exactly where this is going to go and how this can help you and your organisation. Something you can take back. So I'm going to open the New South Wales Globe, and it's just a simple little file to download. So as you see, we have Eastern Creek here. So under the New South Wales Globe, we have most of our foundation data. So we have information about the latest imagery that New South Wales government has, and it is later than what Google publishes in most areas, places, boundaries, addresses, transport. Start bringing on some of these. So here is the New South Wales transport network. We have the railway stations, we have the streets, we have all of that type of information. You'll notice up the top here we now have a new search functionality. So we can search on authority of New South Wales addresses. Because you know what? Addressing is a problem. King's Cross does not exist officially. It's not an address. It's not a suburb. But government agencies are recording addresses as they're provided by the people. I don't live in Kirrawee Heights. It doesn't exist. It's Kirrawee. You know, these vanity suburbs and vanity addresses limit the ability for us to be able to link information to a location and therefore visually analyse it and display it. But the exciting thing that I'm happy about is that the Globe is now going to be used to publish government spatial data sets where custodianship arrangements have been applied. So in your work, does anybody have a requirement to know where education facilities are, schools? A couple. Where do you get the information from? So when we talk about something like that, we need to look at schools, because emergency services need to know where private schools are as well. Most government agencies do. So we've been working with these agencies to develop the custodianship arrangements for their data. And we will be publishing this on the Globe. So if we have a look at facilities, we actually now have an authority of government data set of public and private schools. That's up to date. That'll define the name of the school, what type of school it is, and take you exactly to the website where you can find out more information about that facility and get in contact with it. But it is one authority data set. And we are doing exactly the same with hospitals and medical facilities. We've got a number of these in line. We're working with ABS at the moment so that based on a suburb or an LGA, you'll be able to get a basic census profile, but follow a link through to the ABS systems and databases and table builders and develop your own profile based on your own needs. So do you need to know what the population breakdown is? How old the people are? Where do they come from? What's the social advantage, disadvantage, etc.? All of that information will be delivered straight from the custodian's database through that application to you. You can put your own data on top of that. Where are the service New South Wales locations? Where are your facilities? Where are your employees located? To give you an idea of what's happening and how this is going to support the New South Wales open data policy and framework, I'm going to turn off the New South Wales Globe. And I'm going to show you something that can potentially be a problem, but we're putting in information management processes to help manage it. Government gloves are not new. In fact, in New South Wales, we sat back because Western Australia deployed theirs and Queensland deployed theirs and NC have deployed theirs. So we wanted to learn all the lessons. The reason that they went Google Globes is because the application was free. And the application is intuitive and it's useful. And it's that first front-end visualisation tool. This same data is available to every government agency for consumption and storage directly into their own spatial information systems, such as emergency services, how they use that. So they're using the same information that you would be addressing. But what Queensland have done, the success of their open data policy has seen a catalyst in demand for having that information available via one portal of access. And what they've done is they're spatially enabling every bit of data that is available under the open data policy. Now that's an information management nightmare, and we don't want to go down that route. What we want to do is have authority information on our globe. So, but I want to show you a couple of examples. So Queensland have rolled out a number of globes. And I'm just going to open one that's of a particular interest to me. So here we can see we've got the Queensland globe. Right, and they've done a coal seam gas globe. So their environmental data. Everybody's concerned about the environment. Everybody wants to know what's happening. So what we see here is, what we see here are coal seam gas wells. So what's one of the issues about coal seam gas extraction that concerns the public and was a big issue in Queensland and is becoming a bit of an issue or has been an issue here? And water quality. So, in the interest of open data and transparent government, what the Queensland government said, well, we'll show you where the wells are. And not only that, so if we zoom down here, it takes you straight through to that government department's database and will produce in time, I'm only going from my phone here, the latest report on water quality out of that well. So what spatially enabling data is starting to do in Queensland is empowering information into the hands of those who want to know about it, the mums and dads. I'm around that area, I want to see what the water quality is like, I want to see where there's coal seam gas wells. They have a huge amount of information in their globes. And some think, oh, I'm going to go back to the New South Wales globe. The reason I'm showing this is an example of how information can be created once and used multiple times. Budget paper number 4, does anybody know what that's about? Capital allocations and planned major infrastructure spend. How many people would actually read a budget paper? But who's interested to know what major infrastructure projects are going to be in their area? Most people, lots of mums and dads. So what the Department of Planning and Infrastructure did, they actually spatially enabled that information. So here we have, for example, and we can zoom in, we have a Peak Hill multi-purpose service redevelopment. So $12 million has been allocated to that with a link to that particular project. So what we did was we just ask planning to supply that information, just publish it on the globe. Same information, different mechanisms of being able to access it. Because there's no one right tool that people are going to get information from. How many people have seen the major strategies, the metro strategy, the transport strategy, all of those strategies? They're great documents. A lot of the information is already spatially enabling there. What about, I'd love to see the transport master plan overlaid with a regional infrastructure plan. So by bringing the information together into a platform that you can visualise and look at that. It's not a hard guess, but what do people think would be the most common search that people do when they log on to a system like this, a spatial system, be it a Google Maps, a Google Earth, or whatever it may be? And we have a recording of how many, it's unbelievable how many hits have been received by the globe. And if you look at some of the information that some of the other jurisdictions is, and I'm not going to open them up because I could be here all day and they're publishing the most recent sale price. All of this type of information, you would be you would be surprised at the type of information mums and dads want. We are working with a number of government agencies who are now, and I want to bring this back to location intelligence, because to me it's a concept that is catching on all over the place in terms of different Australian jurisdictions. But we're working with a number of agencies now who are in charge of allocating government allocated funds to projects. Projects that people apply for, so community funded, put in applications. How do you assess which one deserves to be funded over the other? There's always going to be more applications than there are money to be spent. So working with a couple of agencies at the moment, we're developing profiles, so they're bringing in the census information. They're looking at the population breakdown, involvement in sport, looking at key indicators that different departments have about information. And they are asking and making it a requirement when a community organisation or sporting body asks or puts in a funding application, they provide the correct address information or location information so they can actually start mapping all of this. And then they can see how government money is being expended, who it's being allocated to, and put their hand on the heart and say, the right people are actually getting it. So this is an evidence-based tool that helps you support your decisions. Going back to what Cassie said about digital archives, and I love that presentation. Emergency service organisations really value this. If you think about it, and we go way back, whenever there's a major event, and there's a death, and there's a subsequent coronial inquest, an inquiry, one of the things the coroner has always asked for was a copy of the information that you used to make that decisions on that time. So after every major event, all of the spatial information, foundation, information created, everything is archived and put away so that can be recreated so that the coroner can say, you made the right decision. So it is really important in terms of the management of the information and how we get it. But more so than that, and I wanted to bring this, end this on a lighthearted note, you deserve information to be delivered to you in a way that really is going to make your job easier and eliminate a potential for you to be criticised at a later date. If you can hold your hand on your heart and say, I used all the information in the way that I could, in the best way that I could, put all the context into the situation, and that's why, nobody can ask any more of that for you. So what we're doing now, and what I want you to take away from today, we're equipping you with the tools. We're equipping you with the information. You can add your own information on top of that, and we will work with you and help you in terms of that. If you have an application for this, one example that came out of one of these forum that OFS has been running was for Office of Fair Trading. And that was service station signage compliance. Now, working off an Excel spreadsheet. Great, don't get me wrong, Excel's fantastic. But what they wanted to see was where service stations were not complying. Was there any trends? Was there a cluster of them? If there were, and there was a cluster, what's the surrounding information that could contribute to that? How do we take and remedy that situation? And furthermore, how can we compare the audit we're about to do with the audit that we've just done? So it's time and place. So my offer to you today is, if you have any questions about this, I'm always happy to field them. If you have any requests or think that you could be using this, let us know. If you don't have access to the New South Wales Globe now, why not? It doesn't cost you anything. It's a government-funded initiative. We will be continuing to grow that. If you have information in your agency that you want to see up there, where are your service delivery points, for example? Let us know. We'll make it happen. We're in a really exciting age in terms of information, the way it's being delivered, and a whole-of-government coordinated approach to it. It is an exciting time at the moment in terms of that. So for one of the reasons I had to rush here today was, we all know that New Zealand had an earthquake. Over 600 kilometres of sewage pipes, plus a whole lot of other underground infrastructure was damaged or destroyed in that. Some of the work we've done is developed, and New South Wales has led the way here, develop a standard to record the location of underground utility assets. That standard that we developed here in New South Wales is now an Australian standard, an actual acknowledged Australian standard. We utilised New Zealand's expertise in terms of helping develop that, and now they're helping us build an awareness package. The gentleman in charge of leading the response recovery in New Zealand actually flew out here yesterday and had some time, so the general manager asked me to bring together a forum back at LPI, which is occurring as I speak now, of all the utility organisations. Why is it important? How many people remember probably 12 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, there was a huge sinkhole in Botany Road, caused huge disruption? What you probably don't know, and I can tell you now, is that just before we were about to start work on that, the all clear was given for people to start cutting through there. The Emergency Information Coordination Unit, you would not believe the amount of spatial data it has, and it has a complete 3D above and below ground view of the CBD and surrounding areas. Luckily, somebody identified the fact that there was a major high voltage railway line running straight through there that wasn't picked up through Dole before you dig. Enough that it just would have caused a huge amount of damage, and it was live. So there's an application of the importance of applying standards to information. Now the utility organisations are coming to spatially enable and record based on a standard all information so we can identify where assets are. If you ever get a chance to have a look at a 3D below ground view of the city and all of the infrastructure there, do it. It'll blow your mind. Seriously, I don't know how rats can walk around down there. There's no room. It's a maze. So with that, I'm sorry I've taken up more time than necessary, but as I said, Amanda, it's dangerous. I can go on for all day about sort of things, and I'm always happy to do demonstrations on additional information that comes in and other platforms as well, because the globe is just one mechanism. Government agencies have quite a few spatial capabilities, but to me it's all about information management and serving the right information out to the people who need to make the decisions based upon it.